Welcome to another Sunday show with Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement. Hi, Neil.
Dr. Chris, very good morning. Beautiful day in Cape Town, may I say. And ready for a week. But wow, Chris, what a week it was. So we've got a lot of things I think we need to get through.
Yes, Neil. Factions in the African National Congress are deepening by the day as they are working behind the scenes to position their favorite for the next president of the party. Even billionaire Patrice Motsepe's name is now out there. Your thoughts, Neil?
Well, we put his name out there 6 months ago, Chris. I think what people need to understand is, and I'll unpack it quickly, within the African National Congress, you have to be a person that stimulates three pillars of the organization. And if you don't speak to those pillars, you are absolutely a non-contender. But there's a fourth pillar, a pillar that is the actual foundation, never spoken about, always rumored about. Soos daai spook in die donker wat net ouma se gesig kan wees. And meanwhile, is it a candelaar met 'n klein kersie net daarop gesit? It appears once every couple of while. And as jy 'n bietjie Olof Berg drink, as jy hierso van oupa ook. The three pillars in the ANC is one, let us call it the foundation, the Freedom Charter. If you continually refer back to the Freedom Charter and the Mandela era and the reasoning of the populace, that's what you do. Jy al daai kaartjie uit. The second one is to always have the narrative that you are the only liberation party, the oldest liberation party that are speaking to the poor. And you are a pro-poor party with a liberation credential. So that's the second thing you speak of if you want to be a leader. And then the third one, Chris, is you continue this apartheid legacy, liberation kind of ideology. Dit is die drie stokke. These are the three sticks you take out. And when you look at a crowd, you decide who you beat it with. One of those three. But the fourth one, Chris, is now the one which makes all of this happen. Money. Geld. That's it. No moolah. No poolah. No vote. No president. So when you look at the past people, Nelson Mandela came through the legacy. But 80% of Nelson's backup support finance came from overseas. Fact, it didn't come from local business people. 40% probably came. Then you had Thabo Mbeki. Undoubtedly, business started to get entrenched. And the people started to understand that in the ANC, we are now going to have choices for president. Because, Chris, what people don't understand in the ANC, in its 113 years, it never elected a president. I don't know if people know that. There was never a formal election where one contested another. Oliver Tambo was uncontested, Nelson Mandela was uncontested, and Thabo Mbeki was uncontested. They were just accepted as the next president. There was never a candidate. Where the ANC fell off their chair, sunlight op die sit plek op jou gat, is when suddenly Jacob Zuma decided to run against the president. In the ANC, Chris, I was there. It was a shock. The ANC suddenly had to do ballots. They had to do campaigning, not against a opposition, but for a president inside. And that, go back. That was the change of the ANC strategy where money now had to surface, not to actually host a election or host a conference, but actually contest. And once they started to do this contesting of buying votes, having to put money in, whoever has the most money, Chris, the rumors, the allegedly money dished out, Cyril's scenario of buying the presidency in the last presidency, that rumor came out. It's now about money. So I am sitting here gnawing at my teeth and saying, told you so. Here comes a guy who has the money. En ek dink sy sisters en sy familie is getroud met helfte van die kabinet. So his family is not just friends with the president, friends with the Niels getroud. So you're going to be at that New Year's party. So Chris, enter the room, Patrice Motsepe, billionaire in South Africa, very well entrenched in politics. I am not surprised. He's not a dark horse. He is a known horse. And he's just bolted for the first time to show that he could actually be someone. Don't write him off. So now we've got him. We've got Lesufi. We've got Fikile. Genade by ons. We've got Paul Mashatile, who's bolstering his little arms and shapes and getting assassinated every second day with a pellet gun. And then we now have Mr. Patrice Motsepe. So I don't think the last one, though. I think a couple of other CSTLIKIs had a big update, but still long to go, Chris. We've still got a road to go, but not surprised. What's
just,
that guy?
Just a couple of weeks ago, I was told that Jeff Radebe was considering it too.
Yeah, and I think maybe we'll bring back David de Villiers and Nas Botha's cousin if we could find Pieter Tief's neef. I think they all want to become president. I think there's this let's become president sickness. You know, almal word aangesteek. Almal steek almal aan, but you can be a president. So Chris, I think we're going to have 10 or 20 or 30 candidates. Neil de Beer is not going to be one of them. Because I'm going to sit behind them and go, nou gaat jy op jou moer kry. But anyway, Chris, let's see what the crystal ball brings. You're going to see funny people coming out of funny places.
Yes, and let's not forget former President Jacob Zuma, whose MKP has taken another ward from the African National Congress, this time in Mandeni, by 42%, Neil, to the ANC's 27%. So they now have two ward councillors in Ilembe.
Chris, die ding gaan nie weg nie. Yeah, I call him a ding. You know, I don't know, have you ever had a cockroach in your house? They only come out at 1 o'clock in the morning when you are so deeply sloppy with it, and then you hear this chirp, chirp, and now you've got to go find this thing, and you can't find it. And Chris, I don't know if you heard, but this cockroach thing goes chirp, 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 and it actually kills you. I mean, you don't need to torture anybody. Just put in 20 cockroaches, and dan sy etter van 'n muskiet, die. And you know what? People said you moved the thing, miss. This Jacob Zuma is a thing that doesn't go away. You know, people are saying, you know, he's at this, but I don't know if you know, they say if a nuclear bomb goes off, the only thing that survives is a cockroach and, you know, probably an EFF parliamentarian. But Chris, jy kan 'n blik doom uitspuit op die goed. Half an hour. Chirp, chirp. So, MK is resilient. You know, I how many times on a Sunday have I told you, hello, hello, they're coming. Not did they just take a ward in Saldanha in Cape Town. They just won another ward in the KZN Durban. And let me tell you, if this is the trend, if this is going to be the continual flow, I am telling you that you and I, when we said that the biggest onslaught before 2029 will be MK, not waiting for the 2026 elections, maar hulle begin sommer vandag. And Chris, it's not by six. You know, it's not by seven. A friend of told me last night that a rugby team had a score of 106-8. That's not a rugby score, that's a cricket score. So when you look at this, if they are continually winning by the percentages and the margins they are beating, not to talk about the opposition, you know, the DA, the Patriotic Alliance, forget about them. They're not even on the ballot, showy. It's ANC, MK, and MK is beating them by 10, 25% margins. Chris, he kom donder weer. Ek wou iets anders te sê.
Well, the economic freedom fighters are still hanging in there. What did you make of that march on the Afrikaner community of Kleinfontein?
You know, I have a long-standing rubbing issue with Julius Frikkie Jelitot Malema. You know, my history comes far beyond politics. You know, it's when he was a youngster. They were still grooving around as the youth league. And what I saw when Julius Malema left the ANC was that he takes the youth league. And Chris, undeniably, I think you will agree, when Julius left the ANC, he took the youth league with him. Because never again has the youth league recovered, never has it remained and gained its status as the young lights. But Chris, he's running out of substance. Julius Malema is running because of MK. I mean, he lost Floyd Shibombo, who was the strategist. He's lost Dr. Ndlozi, who was the thinker. He's the rabbler, and his format of politics is insult. Their new total crescendo of a propaganda pamphlet is land. It used to be land, it used to be poverty, it used to be the economy. It's now land. And who do they pick? They go pick the areas like Klipfontein, like Oranje. They're starting to now go and say, we have a new enemy, number one. We have a new target, and that is the areas where the Afrikaner-speaking, Afrikaner history, Afrikaner people that have an Afrikaner culture, a language, are now preparing and building their own areas, and they are attacking them now. Now, Chris, let me quickly explain. MK went to do an oversight visit at Oranje. EFF went to protest. I think it's Klipfontein, which is a new
Kleinfontein.
Kleinfontein. Which is also an area that is similar to Oranje. The problem I've got, and here is something that's going to surprise you and maybe the listeners. The attitude and approach of MK when visiting Oranje was not conflict. Yeah? There were no weapons. There were no thousands. They went there. They took their top leadership. And they had a boardroom discussion around the table with the ownership of Oranje. Whereas totally to the opposite, these Jelitot red boykies marched onto Klipfontein, and weapons apparently were there. Now, you've got to now then say to yourself, which one of the two are going to start becoming more radical? And it's the EFF, not letting MK, that will probably come when the squeeze comes. But their approach was the approach that they've got in Parliament, Chris. MK is not a group of people that should be classed as uneducated. They should not be said they are a rabble because Jacob Zuma, because no. They have a very systematic plan. And their plan, Chris, like I've revealed here, is that MK has got retired Judge Schlope as the political leader, which means they are going to use their attack strategy on law, on the Constitution. They already said they want to see the legal papers of documentation of authority. They want to go see the establishment authority letter from the local municipality. They are not going there like the EFF, rip off signs, rip off stuff, walk away and say we've had victory. Jou gat het victory. What you showed us is that you are now the unconstitutional, unrelatable bunch of pariah. But we should be very careful of the approach of MK. And both of them are radical. Both of them want transformation. But Chris, I in this thing think that if we, as South Africans, who must respect law, and I'm not talking on behalf of the people that are Afrikaner. Ek is 'n Afrikaner. Nee, ek is 'n boer. I find it now a full-on, may I call it, social attack on the rights of a group that have decided to be together culturally. And it's enshrined in the law. Section 235 of the Constitution allows this. But the problem, Chris, landing this matter, is that the Constitution, when it was written, Section 235 is not even 8 pages in the Constitution. So that's why we are in trouble, Chris, because we never wrote that when you if Oranje tomorrow decides it's going to fully implement Section 235, which allows self-governance, it does not have in the law the implementation guideline. So hulle het 'n wet geskryf, maar hulle het nie gesê hoe pas jy die wet toe nie. Here we go, Chris. The weekly ice cream award. Are you ready for it? Daar sy. How do you write the law, but you don't write the system and manner of implementation? So that's maybe a breather for Oranje, a breather for Klipfontein, a breather. But we've better get that in order, Chris, because this is now something that's become political. And I fear one morning, Chris, that when they go to the gates of such a place, they're going to meet with arms. The police is going to be in the middle. And people are going to get very cross, like they got cross at Selakal, like they got cross and cross and cross. Een skoot. As een skoot skiet, if one person in that group shoots, we will have a Marikana. We will have then what we are dreading. And the government, the municipalities of those areas, and the people that are so-called leadership in politics must now grab in. They've got to step in. Otherwise, I'm telling you, the thing is going to escalate and we are not going to like what is the outcome.
Now, new President Cyril Ramaphosa has appointed a commission of inquiry to establish why apartheid-era crimes from the DRC have not been prosecuted. You know, there have been long-standing rumors of a secret deal between the ANC and the National Party that would prevent prosecutions on both sides. You were there.
Yeah, I was there. I'm now probably not going to be on the Sunday show next Sunday, because what I'm going to tell you now, they're probably going to ban me. But here it goes. I don't know the meaning of this word very well. But when I grew up, people used to use this as my friends. So here it goes. Cyril, hear me quickly, because I know he watches my show. Here it goes. Cyril, what a lot of toss. Have you heard that word? After some toss. I don't know what it means. I can tell you down the next week, we're going to get 193,000 people that's going to tell us, Neil, die eintlike rede en beskrywing van die woord toss is. So tannie, ek is nou baie jammer. What a lot of toss. Chris, let me explain. Because I'm part of that. The majority of people that are over the age of 50 years old will now know what you and I are talking about. The TRC. The TRC that was held in the mid-90s. The TRC that was absolutely done, dusted 28 years ago, is now being dragged out of the river like other things we are seeing lately. Nou, daar's 'n Afrikaanse seggenskap, meneer die voorsitter, en jy moet vir my hoor, jy moet ophou om koeie op te grawe. Chris, what he has just done is 100% to build his political liberation credibility back. And what he is doing now, he has chosen a poison chalice. Chris, this is my opinion. The reason we had the TRC and not Nuremberg trials was because Nelson Rolihlahla Madiba Mandela had one word. And you know it. I know it. It was reconciliation, Chris. It wasn't retribution. Am I right? You never heard. Well, I never heard Mandela, Winnie Mandela, Ahmed Kathrada, Walter Sisulu, Governor Mbeki. I never heard from their lips. They probably thought it. They probably did speak about it, but never in public. Did I hear Nelson Mandela say, we are going to take revenge on the people that were involved in apartheid and the people that were involved in the atrocities of apartheid that did not ask pardon? Never, Chris. Why 28 years later do you now need a commission of inquiry to find out who stopped? Listen to this. Who stopped the other commissions of inquiry to prosecute? I mean, this makes no sense unless you must show the people that you are leading that you are still radical, you're still part of a liberation movement that just cannot forget. Chris, I was part of that. You know that. I was part of it. I've moved on. I've had to move on. I've had to forgive those that wanted to kill me. And I asked, if not in person, those whom I caused harm to also to forgive me. I now live in a world where I'm fighting for a united South Africa en vragtig kom die kap kyk sonder 'n cash. And he comes in and he's now saying, nee, nee, we need to go back 30 years. Well then, Chris, don't you think I should start a project to go find out where Jan van Riebeeck's bloody's bones are and then maybe take his carcass and put him on trial for invading Cape Town? This is the same rubbish. When do we as a country say to each other, sorry, we can't change the past, Chris, but we can work on the present? And you can see I am livid. I am livid, Chris, because both the ANC and the National Party committed atrocities. Both of the ANC, MK, the National Party, the SANDF, the security police, they all committed atrocities. Therefore, they have blood on their hands, both sides. Chris, I'll probably get another death threat in an hour. Because what I'm going to tell you now, I am serious. If that man Cyril Ramaphosa, Suki Cyril, who I am telling you on national level right now again, and if it's never been recorded, he call my Vera. Are you ready, Chris? That man is a coward. He's a coward and he has no backbone. He played no relevance except sit at a meeting and negotiate documents which he was told to in the first place. This man never fought. This man never went to war. This man never sacrificed his life. This man is now trying to find a way to prosecute those that, no matter your cause, that fought in a political warfare and is trying to now dig a hole. Will he also formulate this commission of inquiry? And in that, you know, when they open a commission of inquiry, they give them a specific area that they need to look at. Will he increase the scope of this inquiry for all the people that also did not apologize, that did not get indemnity in this country, that also murdered and committed those atrocities that were identified at the TRC? Because, Chris, the fundamental principle, and miskien is ek verkeerd, maybe the loss of my hair, my style, and my absolute growing nose, maybe that's changed. But, Chris, are we not all equal under the law? Does this constitution not guarantee the right of every citizen to be treated the same under the law? Yes, it does. It's in the preamble of the Constitution. And Chris, what a sad day that for political points, political credibility, we go and dig. Soe koei. Ne? Such a cow. In the land, we are going to go dig that person up and upset the apple cart that we are already trying to do. I am absolutely astounded that he did that. And what is amazing enough is that the National Prosecuting Authority, we're still sitting with Zondo. So we can go dig up old cows, but we can't lock up the present. So it makes no sense to me. This is wrong. This is not right.
Well, Neil, meanwhile, there's much speculation about four members of the South African Police Force whose bodies ended up in the Hennops River in separate cars, apparently. And in February, another detective has suffered the same fate, and that's also still a mystery. Have you heard anything?
What a tragic event. They were not old people. In other words, older. Not that that makes a difference, but they were young people. So may I, on your behalf and this show, publicly say that our condolences and prayers with that families. Secondly, the loss always of officers is close to the heart. But something stinks here worse than a dying bat in the Okavango. Hierdie ding reuk erger as 'n pakkie van 6 bokkons op Langebaan. Something's wrong here, Chris. It doesn't go 1 plus 1 is 2. Hierdie donderse ding gee vir ons 33. 33. Let's unpack it. Polo goes into water. Polo is severed in half. But when you see the first diver pulling out the front end of the Polo, on the photographs that I have now before this show, went to go study, something's wrong with that vehicle. And again, Chris, you and I, we say allegedly, mas praat met baie mense. When you look at the second left-hand side of the Polo, when it is extracted, the front door, there's that second section before it starts the second door. That is perfectly cut, severed on a straight line. There's no cutting. In other words, there's no disc shaping. There's no formulation of metal tearing out of metal. It's a straight line cut. They lift that out. The left front casing, in other words, the tire of the Polo and the front left-hand casing of the tire, and with other the panel on the left front, totally undamaged. Not a scratch. Perfect hubcap, perfect wheel, perfect panel. Point one. They then find the second part, and they pull that part out, and lo and behold, what do you see? That the front end now of the back end part of the Polo is also perfectly severed. No tearing out shapes, no wobble, straight. Okay, so I'm not a mechanic. I am not a person that understands body painting or body cars or what do you call them? Panel beater or a forensic? I'm telling you on observation, what a tear. Chris, where they found the three is not in the vehicle. As you recall, the bodies were not found submerged in the vehicle. They say bodies float, vehicles sink. So at what stage did the severance of the occupants of the vehicle separate themselves so much from the vehicle or be submerged? Three, the area where vehicle allegedly leaves road to river is not a cornered or straight area where there is zero traffic, Chris. There is an abundance of traffic that uses that road. And you can physically notice from road to area to offlet clearly. So that's the one scenario that we are looking at and saying, if that was an accident, that vehicle went into the river. But Chris, have you seen the vehicle? In other words, the state of that vehicle. This vehicle is crushed. Kan ek dit weer sê? That vehicle is as if that vehicle rolled or physically went under a truck or physically is squashed. It's squashed, Chris. In other words, I spoke to a forensic detective and he says to me, something's odd on that site because he's visited probably 2,500 crash sites in his life. It doesn't make sense. Road to water impact. Then suddenly, Chris, they find another body and then another. So we know the three were on their way home to deployment. But Chris, there's also a rumor where they were deployed and where they were going to and in their past where they were deployed. So we can't just look at where they went and where they were going to. In other words, from the one area to the other. What's their history? Where did they come from? Where were they previously deployed? And I think, Chris, that's going to be a startling revelation. But what we are not doing right here, right now, is you and I fear one thing very much. We don't fear much, but we fear speculation. I don't like speculation. So the info we're sharing now is what we could get from several. But we will get there. This show will get there. So three police, dead. Fourth person found, same river, just upstream. And lo and behold, police officer as well. They are now declaring that this police officer, whoa, Chris, whoa, whoa, whoa. Three dead, police, another one dead, police. Now, when you ask for info, they are saying, allegedly, was a admin clerk, was a officer that worked in the admin side of SAPS. Chris, it's not so. We, until we can confirm it, to next Sunday, factually, we have been told, Chris, that that officer was not a normal admin officer. That that officer was in actual fact deployed to a other division, which has bloody nothing to do with admin fingerprints or driving in a police van. That officer apparently comes from a site of SAPS where you and I had some insight in our past. I'll leave it there, but that's the fourth one. And what will be interesting is what cases did such officer work on? What cases was that officer exposed to? And why drowned and dead? And Chris was driving another vehicle, was not in the Polo. But the one that I'm very interested in is the fifth one. The one that they are saying was decayed much more than the other. So in other words, died probably earlier than the rest. But they are absolutely now saying that they need to do DNA, they need to do forensics because the body itself cannot be identified on face value. But I'm not going to hold my breath and tell you that the fifth one is not also government related. So this is a sad story, an interesting story, but no matter the tragedy, something's behind the story because when you've because our little sensory buttons, on klein senevier dots that goes like this, they call it in women the sixth sense. You know, women have seven senses. Six of them is the mental and understanding, and die sewende is die houtlepel. So, you know, women just get it. So, everything here is tingling those senses, and you and I will report back next Sunday on what we find. But tragedy, but don't like it. Don't like this way this is going.
Another tragedy, that of the missing Jocelyn Smith. The chilling verdict last week to have been sold for her, for the color of her eyes and the color of her skin. What a beautiful little girl, remember?
Chris, I was actually integrally, not physically, but emotionally involved in that network of investigation from the mayor of Saldanha to the deployment of supportive law enforcement from City Cape Town to Saldanha to go and find little Jocelyn. You know, Chris, it matter not at the end of the day if you are guilty or not guilty. What matters is your remorse. Jy weet, het jou net kak aangevang. It's done. It's dusted. You were caught. Then what I would expect is some form of conscience, some form of humanity to come forward and say, I did this, but I would like to show remorse. Not one of them. In actual fact, one of them, when told that you are now guilty of kidnapping, human trafficking, burst out in laughter. No emotion from that mother, and no emotion from all three of them like we expected. Now, Chris, here it comes. The day after they found guilty, they went and burned Kelly's house down. That is the anger, and that is the pressure that just burst in that community. And we must say to that community that we could not ignore but give them our heartfelt love. Because the community also lost some. Let's go back to Nathan Erasmus. Make this man the judge president. For God's sake. What a jurist. To the point, to the actual extension of being incredibly intellectual, but his understanding of the law, not seeing that in a long time. Because he justice. Handled that trial in the format of justice. Now, Chris, I will say something to end this part of the conversation that's controversial. One of those that were found guilty apparently has spent time in jail before, has been a convicted thief and criminal, and served in our state institutions before. Hence the laugh. Hence I'm going back to a place I know. I know I'm doomed. I'm going to get 10, 15. Mark it, Mikey's. Chris, when you look at it, I'm a dad. We both have family. You do that to your child, what heartless human being are you? Now, no wonder, Chris. I'm telling you, if you had to have a referendum in this country on Monday, no matter the argument, to bring back the death penalty, I'm telling you, you're going to get an 80% majority. Because I will do it. You know, the Constitution speaks about right to life, right of liberty. We have the most free, most human constitution in the world. But it doesn't suit our country anymore, Chris. Our constitution was taken from a small little country in Europe where they don't have guns, they've got batons and torches. And we use that as the fundamental basis to our constitution. In Africa, in South Africa, where they do domestic violence with an AK-47. So, Chris, I'm going to not go into that side. I think we save that for the future. But if those people did to that child, which they did, if I was a judge, I would unequivocally sentence them to hang. Because, Chris, this is wrong. To a child, a beautiful girl that was now sold for whatever purpose, be it for muti, be it for dismemberment, be it for tokolos, be it for human trafficking. You took that child, that beautiful little girl's life. You should pay for it with your life. But in this country, life does not mean life. In this country, you murder someone, you're out in 12. You're out in 8. Good deed. You don't serve life. Now, I'm sorry. This country's come to a point, Chris, that if you murder, you shoot, you take a life. We should really start looking at ourselves. No matter the humanitarian and libertarian kind of attitude, but we should really start looking at society, Chris, where they kill. Last night again, they shot a police officer in Cape Town to death. A lady, retired kids, they shot her to death last night. We catch those people, they should go to the death penalty, Chris. And I fear that if they don't do it, if this country doesn't review the constitution, be careful that society doesn't go back to the necklace, doesn't go back to the Bundu and kangaroo court, or burn down the houses of people that are convicted because they don't believe that the rightful sentence was issued to justify those people that perpetrated this crime. So sad for that. Haven't found her yet. Don't know where she is. I think we are just on a year. But wherever she is, whatever she is, let us say a prayer that maybe one day we'll find her, because she is South African and such a beautiful little girl that had life before her. And may God have mercy on those three individual souls, because that is not the way South Africans are. The end.
Indeed. Thank you, Neil. That was Neil de Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement, on the Sunday show with me, Christine. Thank you, Neil. Goodbye.
On a lighter note, Chris, keep the South African flame burning, because that's absolutely good hope. So it's not all sad. You know, the epitome of hope were the crayfish in the fish tank on the Titanic. They thought they dead. That boat sunk and they were set free. So there's always a chance, Chris. God bless you and have a good week.
So goodbye and good luck to everybody out there.